Good evening. A sweet time we can come and pray together. Because of my schedule at work, it's hard for me to make Wednesday nights. And it's a sweet time. I didn't realize how sweet it can be just coming and just sharing our prayers together and our concerns and our thoughts. It's quite an honor. I'm just going to share a few thoughts with you. It's something I've been going over in my studies. If you have your Bibles with you, just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning there, most of you know I'm a paramedic, and I was thinking we're going to be talking about the body of Christ tonight, and I was thinking back to my schooling. We had to take an anatomy and physiology class, and I remember sitting in that class and just being amazed about how God created the human body, where everything dependent of the another thing. No one system can work independent. And we would sit there, and we were learning about shock one day. And not to get into too much detail, but we were learning about hypovolemic shock, where if someone loses too much blood, what actually happens? We all know if we lose too much blood, we're going to die, obviously. But why? What happens? And just the intricacy of the detail of what the blood does, how it transports oxygen, and how it takes away cell waste, and that if it can't do that, acid builds up, and damage actually happens to the tissue. It's just that one component misses, one component can't do its job, and everything suffers, everything. And it blew me away that's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. And it's amazing, and it's just everything we look at just glorifies the Lord. But let's turn to Scripture here. We're going to be talking about the body of Christ. It's something I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with. But if you're like me, sometimes we hear the expressions, the body of Christ. We hear it, and we hear it so often, we just glance over it. And we just, what is it? What makes the body of Christ? So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we're talking about the body of Christ. And as we read that, I started to realize, you know, I fall into the trap of the body of Christ just being the people that are around me. The people I associate with, the fellowship with. And that is so small and it is so narrow-minded. And I think it's a trap of the world and a trap of the devil that we get like this. And God is so much bigger. That I was thinking today, I'm sure a lot of you heard about that Pastor Yosef in Iran. That is my brother. He is scared. He is frightened. He is suffering for Christ. And I go around the day like nothing's going on. What a shame. What a shame on my part. That I'm that narrow-minded. But so I thought about that. I thought about some scripture I had read if you want to turn with me. If not, it's fine. But in Deuteronomy, I was reading in chapter 13, where Moses is speaking to the people before they cross over, the people of Israel, before they cross over the Jordan to take the promised land. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 12, if you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, then you shall inquire and search out and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock, with the edge of the sword. Now, I'm not sitting advocating we should go strike each other down if we hear things, but what I am saying is, I think the practical application is there is that when the Lord set up the different tribes, they were all still dependent of another. They were not individuals. Dan, if the city of Dan heard of something happening in the city of Beersheba, 150 miles away, they were responsible to go and find out what was going on. They were accountable. They were dependent of each other. They were a unity. And I think sometimes, I don't know about you, I fall into the trap that I almost start thinking of as an individual, like just my little world, me and my family, and just my close associates. And I think that's a shame. I think God is so much bigger, and He's put us in the body together. He's baptized us together. And I think it's a shame that if we fall into that trap. I think of Romans 12:15, where it says, rejoice when others rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep, and be of the same mind toward one another. And I ask myself, do I do that? Do I really hurt when a brother's hurting? Or do I just say, well, I'll pray for you and walk away? What a shame. God has put us in this body together to rejoice with one another and to weep with one another. I'll share a story with you. A few years ago, I was going through something. My heart was broke. And at that point, we were friends. We weren't really like close friends, but he was a good brother. And I called him, and he came over, and I didn't have the words to tell him what was going on. But I remember I just sat on my porch. And I just wept. And he wept with me. And that meant a lot. I knew that his heart broke because my heart broke. And that means something. I think that's how the body of Christ is supposed to be. But so as we think about the body, and we use it as a comparison to our body, God gave us that as an example. He said, "We gave us a physical body. And he describes the body of Christ so we can compare that. I think about how do we take care of our body? What do we do? I think we nourish our body. We give it nourishment. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 25. Verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And also we can turn to 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 12. And there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And in 1 Peter, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Isn't it exciting to know, as believers, God has given every one of us a gift that no one else has. And that gift was meant to be shared with others. Not meant to hold to ourselves, not meant to use to our own advantage, not meant to withhold it, but to use to edify and to bless and encourage and comfort. That's how we grow as a body. That is the nourishment. God has given those gifts. to turn around, to use on ourselves, that we can draw from Christ and grow. I just think that that's exciting. That, I mean, I'm still struggling to find my gifts. I think after this, you guys might tell me what my gifts are not. But I'm not worried so much about what my gifts are. I'm going to keep trying to find them, and I think we should all do that. I don't think we should get hung up on what is my gift, and that's the only thing I do. God didn't say He gave just one gift; He gave different gifts. And I heard an author talk about it's a palette of colors, and God is free to do whatever He wants with that palette. Some here, some there, a little bit there, a little bit more there. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful image that that's how the body grows. In fact, turn to Ephesians just for a second. I just want to read this. I just think this is so encouraging. I didn't write this down on my notes, but we've been doing a Bible study with my friends at work, and we've been doing Ephesians. It's just been so encouraging. And we actually just read this the other day. Excuse me if I can find it real quick. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And basically, that's a lot of words to say. We help each other mature and grow. And that's how we do it. I just think that Brother Dave was talking earlier about how the young, we worry about our young ones because they go off to college and they get exposed to so much, and they hear so much, and there's so much stuff out there. But what's the answer? We are. God has given us gifts so we can train our children. We can all grow together. And then when we don't have to worry then. We know that we've laid the foundation. God has given us the gifts. And please don't misunderstand me when I say we've done it. Nothing is out of our own power. It's all Christ has given us the gifts. He has distributed them. And it's all through Him. But what a blessing and honor He would even use us. So lastly, we think about the body and taking care of it. I think about how we would obviously not go out and deliberately harm our body. If I told you, hey, let's go drink bleach every day for the next 6 months, I think you would probably look at me like I'm pretty stupid. But sadly, sometimes spiritually we do that. I think sometimes we will go out and deliberately cause harm to ourselves and to the body as a whole. And I think it's a shame. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And all through the epistles, I just use that one as an example, but all through the epistles, you'll see the things that they warn us against. And I think those are the poisons of the body of Christ. Those are the things that will, if you want to cause damage, if you want to hurt the body, be angry, be bitter, have malice, be selfish. Those are the things that will destroy a body quicker than anything. And I think the scriptures, all throughout scripture, we're warned about those things. So, in closing, I was trying to think of some really neat little way to close, but as I came to my, I was reading, it turns out apparently the Holy Spirit could do it better than I could. So I wanted to show you some scripture that I thought really just summed up what I was talking about. In 2 Corinthians 13, Paul's writing, and he's bidding farewell to the people he loves and worried about. And he said in verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that you have put us in a body, that you have put us all together, that you have baptized us by the Holy Spirit and placed us in the body of Christ. And what an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing. And we love you for it. And we will, for eternity, we'll be saying thank you and hallelujah and praise your name. Father, I thank you for the people that you have put me here with. I know that not one person is a coincidence, not one person is an accident. Everyone here is for a reason. Everyone here has a gift that I need, Lord, that you have put it here, that I need it so I can grow and become more like your Son and more perfect, just like you, Lord. And Father, I thank you for him. I pray that you just help us all to grow together. Help us be a body that would just reach out and just be in tune with each other and just be in close fellowship. Father, watch over us as we go out tonight. Be with us. Help us be witnesses. Help us just to shine your light amongst this dark world. And we love you and we thank you and we praise you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.